And before we get rolling here, let me tell you about Bill Phillips. Bill is a psychic medium and author. A couple of his books, Signs from the Other Side, Expect the Unexpected. His life's mission is to help people deal with the grief of losing loved ones by bringing through validations, evidential information, and beautiful messages from spirit, which heal and help bring a sense of peace. He conducts individual, small, and large group readings. He's appeared on television programs. He was on Dr. Phil, Access Hollywood, and now he's on Coast to Coast. But Bill, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, I'm really looking forward to this. You know some great people in the field, Dr. Raymond Moody, and I just think the world of him.
Oh, yes. I'm so honored that he took the time to get such kind words about my book.
I sure did. And two books, Signs from the Other Side is relatively new, just came out, and Expect the Unexpected, that came out back around 2015, right?
Yes.
Good for you. Tell me a little bit more about your background, because you had a very difficult childhood, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And I find that when it comes to accepting this type of gift, that there's usually some type of event that happens in our world. It's some kind of trauma is what I've come to realize. And for me, that was at a very early age. I had my two parents that unfortunately had their own issues with drug addiction, and I was kind of tossed back and forth between them. And when I was about 6 years old, my mother kidnapped me.
What do you mean, kidnapped you?
She had everything planned. She had the bags ready to go. My dad left for work. She had a neighbor take us to the nearest Greyhound station, and it was all set up this way.
Oh my God.
And so basically what happened was we took this three-day trip from California to New York, Brooklyn, New York, and it was pretty crazy, scary, just chaos, didn't know what to expect, you know, bouncing around from place to place, being in hiding from my family in California. You know, nobody knew where we were for quite a while, actually. So I was with her in New York, and you know, she fell to her addictions, and I found myself trying to basically survive on my own, or going from, you know, people that I made friends with, churches, things along those lines. And I was there for almost 3 years, and then my mom's boyfriend at the time, his sister was watching over me, and had reached her expiration date with me. So she was able to contact my family back in California. And I was shipped back to, at the time, Vegas. My dad was living in Vegas at the time. And we were there for about 6 months. And then we came back to California. And it was basically going from one extreme, you know, to the exact same one across the country. So I was basically homeless, for lack of better words, when I was in New York, and I came back to California, and same thing, bouncing around from hotel to hotel, just not really having a stable foundation. And because my mother had taken me across the country, you know, there was a whole trust that was broken between my parents, and so I didn't see her for almost 6 years. And, you know, we spoke on the phone whenever we could. You know, I was her only child. It was devastating. And almost 6 years later, about 3 weeks shy of my 15th birthday, she passed away unexpectedly from pancreatic cancer due to her addictions. And I was able to take a red-eye flight out to New York and basically say goodbye to her on her deathbed. So as you can imagine, you know, for a 14-year-old child, it was just crazy and traumatic. And I just didn't know what to expect. I thought my life was over at that point. But 2 nights later, I woke up to her, her spirit in the room, and I was completely just didn't know what to make of it, confused. And from that point on, all of these intense experiences started to happen around me. And I doubted it for quite a while, and I also pursued, at the time I was in school, and I was pursuing music actually at the time, and I was taking voice lessons, and I was auditioning for conservatories to be an opera singer. So all this happened around the same time frame, and I got into a conservatory in San Francisco, and I went up there. And before that happened, I was, you know, really, really just developing my own senses and understanding more and more about what I was experiencing. But I was still afraid of accepting it as my life's calling, or, you know, as what I was going to do for my life's work. And so I ran from it, basically.
But you can't run too far from it, can you?
Exactly. Yeah. So I went to San Francisco, and I was in school there at the conservatory. And, you know, I opened up with certain people about it and made some good allies there at school with my teachers. And word kind of spread on the down low when I was there about this, you know, not to share it with too many people, but just to kind of keep developing it. And so I was there for about 3.5 more years. And when I was done with school, there were so many things that were pointing to just trusting this and going for it, because it was tremendously healing for people that I was coming in contact with. So that was my validation to continue with it. And the rest is history, basically.
Bill, do you think the trauma that you had as a child helped contribute to your psychic abilities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always say that when I was going through all this, and, you know, it was, there's so many different things that I experienced, you know, one of them being held at the gunpoint, you know, as an 8-year-old, and, you know, just going from one thing to the other. But I always remember, George, this energy field around me that I couldn't quite, you know, label. I was too young to understand what it was, but I knew that I was being protected by something. As a child, I knew this. And so whenever I was experiencing any kind of trauma during those years, I just kind of went inwardly, and I allowed myself to be cushioned by this energy without really knowing what it was. I just felt this comfort with it. And over time, I realized that energy was spirit. That energy was this light that was cocooning me and protecting me and sort of preserving me so that I would be able to continue my life, you know. So I absolutely do, and I feel like we all were designed to be here and to be intuitive and to sort of, you know, guide ourselves internally, you know, soul to soul, energy to energy. And so I feel like what happens is that when we have that type of trauma, these layers become removed, and we have no choice but to kind of be faced with the present moment, you know, and that reality. And when that happens, that's when this whole other side emerges within us.
What did you do to hone your skills to get better and better and better?
You know, I was fortunate to have a very dear friend at the time who knew about what I was going through. So I remember her telling me, there's this metaphysical shop in town where I lived, and she said, you have to go there sometime. And so after 3 years of just kind of going back and forth with this, I just drove in, and it was around 10 to 7 on a Friday night, and they happened to be doing a class on development on mediumship skills and intuitive skills. And I walked in. I was so afraid as an 18-year-old going in and doing this. And they sat me down, you know, and they kind of told me what to expect and just to trust my impressions. And so I did. And I was paired up with this random woman and held her hand. And, you know, it was something that was so subtle that I had to really just focus in on it, because it wasn't like how I had seen on television or in the movies with, like, The Sixth Sense at the time. With,
right.
You know,
I see dead people, the kids say.
Exactly. That's not how it worked for me. So I remember, you know, holding her hand and just feeling a female presence, and then seeing blonde hair, you know, seeing the J initial, no response from her at all for a few minutes. And then after I gave this information, in my mind, I saw a table that was overflowing with pills. And I had never seen that before. And the teacher walked by, and she goes, and she had heard this, and she goes, well, how would you interpret that? And I thought, overflow, pills, overdose. And at that point, the woman just completely broke down and validated to me that she had lost her best friend. Julie, blonde, it was a suicide with prescription drugs. And so as an 18-year-old, it just completely, it was exciting but also scary. And so I went and told my friend about this experience. And so she went and called all of her friends, and they came over, and I tried it out on them. And so they were impressed. So they told their friends, and that's kind of how the word spread about it. I just sort of basically allowed myself to be vulnerable and to just put myself out there to see what there was to this.
Now, you wrote the books, of course, Expect the Unexpected back in 2015, the new one, Signs from the Other Side. Tell us the motivation for the two books.
Yeah, well, the first book, Expect the Unexpected, was really basically me explaining my story, explaining what I had gone through and the trauma, and just really trying to show people that this is more common than we think it is. So the hopes for it was that people would read it and go, oh, yeah, I've had this experience myself, And so basically it was like a memoir through my life and through my own experiences about how I trusted myself and how I, had these struggles of understanding how this worked. And the cool thing about this is that I learned a lot about how spirit works and how this ability works, is that there's no time connected with it. And so I was, such a perfectionist. I wanted everything to be boom, 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 boom. And what I was realizing was that there was profound healings happening, but there was always some things that completely went over the person's head. But I always encouraged them to keep it with them, to write it down. And I would have calls, sometimes even the next day about something that had come through that was so relevant to them. So it really was just, that book was really my way of explaining how the process worked, how the gift worked.
Right.
And with these stories of, families being reunited and things along those lines. The second book, my newest book, was my intention for it was really a guidebook for anyone to be able to pick it up, to turn to a story and to be inspired about what that person had experienced.
Because it might not make them a psychic medium, but they'll understand.
Absolutely. No. But the point of it, though, is that we all have the ability to talk to spirit. We all have the ability to send the signal and give permission for them to come and to give us those signs. And so that was the intention, was to really show people, okay, if you just, clear away your fear right now and set the intention that they're around you and to just be direct with them, give me something that I will know is from you. They always deliver it, and it's very interesting. It's always very unique to the person in which is having that experience. So it's not like one size fits all. It's really just unique to the experience. So my intention with this book was to really help empower people to take that leap of faith and to trust that their loved ones really are okay, and they're in a great place, and they are connecting with us, and they are guiding us in their form. And the more that we give ourselves that attention, we can build this relationship with them.
At what point did you become a professional psychic medium?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was something that when I was 18 and I didn't want to charge for it because I thought, I'm still learning how to do this, but people were insistent, like, no, you don't understand. This was incredible. I need to pay you for this. And so I had a hard time at first accepting that. And I had people around me explain the whole energy exchange and everything like that. So, when I was in school, that's basically what I did while I was in school without being public with it. People would call me or email me, and I would give them readings while I was in school. And then when I was done with school, there's a lot of fear because my family, that my dad, my grandmother, my family, they had no idea about this. So I had to really come out of the closet with that.
You kept it a secret that long, right?
I did. Yeah, I did. It was very, very hard because my dad's side and my grandmother, very, very strict Christians. So, you know, their belief system and my belief system did not match up at all. So I knew I couldn't really divulge too much with them. And even when I did become public with it, I was probably about 23 or so. You know, the phone rang off the hook, you know, I was told many different things that I was the devil or whatever.
Were you really? They threatened you like that?
Oh, yeah. I definitely had my gamut of
a lot of haters.
Communications. Yeah, but you know, we've evolved over time though. You know, I think that there's a lot of fear, you know, going with it as well. And back in the early 2000s, you know, it wasn't as mainstream as it is nowadays as well, you know. But I stuck to my guns, I stuck to my truth, and I wasn't going to let anything stand in my way of that truth.
Bill Phillips with us. He's a psychic medium. We'll take calls with him next hour. I've got many, many more questions for him. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Spells his name a little differently than you would think Phillips is spelled. It's P-H-I-L-I-P-P-S. But we've got the link for you, so you don't have to worry about spelling his name. Just take the link and it'll get there. A couple of his books, Signs from the Other Side, which just came out, and Expect the Unexpected from 2015. And both of them are very provoking books, Bill.
Thank you.
I mean, they make you think. They make you wonder.
Yeah, and that's the reason why, you know, that's the reason why I wrote them. And especially with the first book, you know, there was a few stories in there from people that, you know, one person, complete atheist, you know, she actually... when she booked her appointment, you know, used a fake name, a money order, everything like that. Just did not want, you know, to be traced at all. And during her experience, you know, she was an author and her life was profoundly changed. Her husband and her son passed away close to each other. And it was a deeply cathartic experience for her, moving experience for her. And it really showed her that, you know, that there was something to this. So it flipped her belief system.
Not all psychics are mediums. How did that happen for you?
Yeah, you know, it's something where I believe that we're all intuitive. You know, we were all designed to be here this way. We were all designed to be, in some sense, psychic. You know,
we've got the mechanism within us, don't we?
Absolutely. We all have the antenna. Some of us have, you know, high-speed cable, and some of us have, you know, regular analog. It just depends. But so psychic is someone basically who can tune into the energy of a, you know, something living. So past, present, future, can feel something out, can sort of, you know, give potential outcomes for the future. Because we have free will. And then a medium is someone that takes it a little bit further, because a medium is using those psychic senses to channel the other side. So basically it's using, the clairvoyance, the clairaudience, the clairsentience, and aligning that with their channel, in other words, and letting the flow happen. So they are two different things. But, you know, there is a fine line between them, and also to be a channel or a medium, it's a great responsibility as well. Even if someone is, you know, gifted with it, there's a lot that goes into it with just integrity and, you know, surrounding in light and having those pure intentions.
It's remarkable work, Bill. And where does it take you next? What projects? Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to hit a break. We'll come back and talk more about that. Bill Phillips, our special guest. We will take calls with him next hour here, but we'll get his thoughts on reincarnation and his incredible music ability. Did that contribute to his psychic mediumship? And welcome back. George Norrie here with Bill Phillips, our psychic medium. His book, Signs from the Other Side. Bill, some people try to communicate with the darker side. You have decided for yourself not to do that. Tell me why.
That's a great question. You know, when I was 18, I remember having certain experiences. You know, I was just an eager beaver, wanted to get out there and do whatever I could. And
take on the world, right?
Exactly, all this excitement. And People wanted me to come over and clear their houses of these earthbound energies, and I was game for it at the time. And when I did this, it was very draining and also very dramatic. Just what I experienced with doors slamming and things coming off the walls, I just realized that was not my forte. That was not my niche with that. And I remember as well one time when I was practicing that I had somebody ask me to connect with someone, and the person had committed suicide by drinking battery acid and hanging himself. And I remember feeling the sensations, but also the energy that I received from this particular soul. He had not done his work yet. He had not crossed over into the light. And I found myself feeling very sick, very ill from that experience. So I realized that that was not doing anyone any good, and it was actually potentially dangerous too, you know. So I only connect with those that are in a good place, because I don't want to make myself sick in the process of doing that.
Well, that's pretty smart to do that. Why do some people want to dabble with this then?
You know, different strokes for different folks. I just think that some people are drawn towards the darkness, and some people are drawn towards the light. It just depends on their belief system.
Well, that's true too. You have talked about the chills and goosebumps that you sometimes pick up when you're dealing with the souls and things like that. How does that happen?
You know, I feel like when spirit's trying to give us a irrefutable sign that they're around us, sometimes our body can have a reaction to it. It's almost like our soul's knowing, and what it does is it counteracts with the physical body. So it's like the ethereal body connecting with the physical body, giving us that physical sign that there's something else in the room with us right now. So, you know, you can experience that through goosebumps, or if you do experience a sign, let's say your mom's favorite song comes on the radio and it makes you emotional, you know, it might just move you to tears as well. So our emotional system and our physical system is at times also used within that process of validating.
Are you a believer in reincarnation, Bill?
Absolutely. Yes, I am. And I feel like we come here in soul groups, so we sort of pre-designate, okay, in this lifetime, I'm going to be your child. You're going to be my mom. You're going to be my dad. And we're going to try this out. I'm going to forgive you for this XYZ. And we come down here to really play out these roles. And it truly is a gift and an honor to be in this world and to be in the flesh like this, you know. So I know that souls look forward to it. And when we do cross over, we kind of reconvene with our soul groups and go, okay, that worked this time, but I didn't quite get this lesson this time. So why don't we come back and try it again? And I'm going to be your dad this time, and let's see if we can get this right. So we're always sort of, you know, changing the roles and reinventing the wheel.
How many times do you think we come back?
Oh, you know, I think it really depends on the soul and how advanced the soul is and how new the soul is, but I'm gonna say probably thousands.
A lot of people have this gut feeling, this intuition about certain things. I've talked about some of the episodes that have occurred with me driving a car, and it saved my life. But a lot of people don't understand what it is, and hence it comes in, it comes out, and they don't realize they had that ability and they let it go. How do you hone in on your psychic abilities or your intuition and really make it work for yourself?
I really feel that a major component in that is to release the fear associated with it. So, you know, we coming into a physical life as children, we're very psychic, we're very open and receptive, and then someone tells us that Santa Claus is not real, and then everything starts to go downhill from there, and our whole minds start to block the flow. So if we can kind of remove those layers and get back into a place of that receptivity and that pure, you know, childlike space, then we can hone in on it. It really is just getting back to basics and truly just understanding what it feels like and what it looks like.
You know, I never stopped believing that Santa was not real.
And you know what? He is real. His essence is real. So it's a whole other type of situation of the spirit of Santa Claus.
Now, what about the love you talk about? You talk about how the other side is trying to contact us. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Maybe a lot of times it doesn't happen. But what do they want?
They, you know, they're doing their own thing as well where they're at, but they're also connected to our path as well. They're checking in on us. So they really want us to know that this life is a gift and that we have power of free will to change our circumstances and to live a good life, you know, regardless of what our past was. So where they're at, you know, there's no physicality, so they're able to manifest anything at, you know, the speed of light. But where we're at, it's a little bit different, but a lot of times when they come through, they like to say, you know, I really wish I hadn't worked until I, you know, was 70 years old and then died of a heart attack. I really wish I had enjoyed my life more and spent time with my family and not worried about all these earthbound egocentric things that keep us up at night. You know, that's typically the message when they come through. So they're trying to inspire us to live our own version of heaven here on earth.
What methods do they use, Bill, to try to contact us?
What message? Well, they
what methods?
So,
methods.
Oh, what methods? Oh, so there's so many different types. A huge one that I see all the time is numbers. You know, because numbers are accessible to us at any given moment. You know, you can look at the clock. You know, if you're driving on the freeway, you're bound to see a license plate in front of you, receipts. You know, the list goes on. So, I find that they're really big with numbers to validate. And with me especially, I can give my own personal story of my mother.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, she. You know, back in the 90s when we had pagers before cell phones were so popular, we had pagers for a brief time, and we used to page each other 143, which was code for I love you. And I see it everywhere. I mean, I will see it. I will, you know, go have dinner with someone, and the total will be 143.
And that's an unusual number.
It really is. It really is. Or even like just being directed to the clock at 143. It could be a car gets in front of me. The last three digits are 143. The back of a bus can be 143. I see it everywhere. So that's a huge one. They love to do things that they know are going to connect us and uplift us, you know, in that moment. So another one would be music as well. It could be that, you know, your loved one's favorite song comes on the radio at the perfect time. Actually, in my book, there's a story about this where someone lost his great uncle, and the same day he was at a bowling alley, and everything got messed up and delayed and everything, and he was about an hour late leaving there. And when he got into his car with his great uncle on his mind, their song came on the radio, and it was Country Roads Take Me Home. And he was from that part of the country. So it really just brought him this tremendous joy and just knowing that his great uncle was with him. So that's another huge one as well. Electricity, they love to manipulate electricity. They're able to kind of get into the current of it and make lights, you know, flicker and flash, and TVs kind of go on and off, and lots of different things with electricity. So that's another one.
You
too.
Say they sometimes send chills or goosebumps our way.
Absolutely.
How do they do that?
Well, you know, it's really just our, if you think of frequency and think of putting their energy next to ours, it's just a physical reaction to what we're experiencing with them being in our vicinity. So that's really what's going on, because they're at a higher level, and so when they come near us, you know, our body reacts to that energy.
What do you think, Bill, the other side is?
From the knowledge that I have, and again, it's very limited, I'm sure I'll know more when I get there, is that it's a continuation. You know, it's heaven. It's basically a reunion and a school and learning and just understanding more about our purpose and our soul purpose. So I really feel like it's for eternity, and we're there to just basically embody love and manifest that in any way that we choose.
Let's cut a deal right now. If you get to the other side, we'll do a broadcast together.
Oh, I would love that.
We got to figure out how to get you on the phone.
Well, you know, I can probably come back and tap into the phone line. So
you might be able to do that.
Yeah.
Is it conceivable that there is no other side?
You know, I personally do not think that is a possibility. Not from what I've experienced firsthand.
I mean, so many people have witnessed so many things and so many strange psychic abilities and in paranormal and supernatural. It's hard to believe there isn't another side, but there's a little piece of me. Every time a friend of mine dies or something, I always think maybe this is it. It's all done. And is that possible?
You know, that part of it, I feel like, is the fear side or the ego, the rational mind side, which always wants to kind of come in and kind of
the skeptical side.
Yes, it wants to come in and destroy that, because if you think about, you know, where we come from and evolution and everything, we were designed, you know, to have that for survival mode. And a lot of times what's happened is that it's kind of overrided this just this intuition. So it's very common. That's why when I teach about this, for example, I really make it my mission to get people out of that part of their brain, because when they get out of that part of their brain, then there's just this knowing that happens and this incredible awareness that occurs with this validation afterwards. So it really does kind of require, as much as possible, quieting that part of our mind.
Bill, when we take calls with you next hour, questions obviously about the other side and signs from the other side. Do you do readings on the phone, or how do you handle this?
You know, I know that with radio we're always limited with time, so I don't mind doing, like, you know, little mini readings here.
Okay. Is the reading going to be of the individual who calls or somebody who's passed on? How do you want to do that?
You know, why don't we have them start with a question just to kind of get in their energy and see what happens?
All right, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So we will do that at the top of the hour when we come back with Bill Phillips. Since you've been doing this, which has been how many years now?
You know, 18, it's been a long time. I want to say about 15 years.
How did you end up on the Dr. Phil show? That's fascinating.
You know, I was very fortunate, and it really just fell into my lap, where there was someone that was connected, and they called me in, and I gave a reading to a group, and they said, "Do you want to be on the show?" And I said, "Yes." So that happened, and you know, I really think that spirit, of course, was always behind these types of situations to bring that awareness to a different level or different platforms. So I was very grateful for that experience.
Our television show is called Beyond Belief, Bill, and one of our producers is a former producer for Dr. Phil.
Ah.
And she's bringing some new energy to the program with us. But
that's wonderful.
He's got a great TV show going, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, just absolutely.
Oprah found him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's actually in her old time slot, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a small world. When you are doing your psychic readings, mm-hmm. what do you do to get into the mode or the trance or whatever you get into?
I like to play some kind of music. You know, music for me is my go-to, because that's sort of how I was trained when I was younger as well, was through vocal music. You know, I was really quite blessed to have teachers that understood energy, and they were able to teach me singing through the chakra system, just a completely, you know, new way of understanding music, but just also listening into, like, tones and intervals and vibration really helped elevate my mind to a different level. So when I connect, I try to get my mind, you know, as high up or as focused as possible. And so for me, music is that gateway for me.
What do you think of the devil? Does it exist?
You know, I do believe that there is a dark side, yes. And I do believe that there are demonic forces, you know. And I feel that if we don't protect ourselves, if we don't take the time to do that spiritual, you know, maintenance. And just like when your immune system is low and you get sick, the same thing could happen with those dark digits. You know, if you're susceptible to them, they can come around you and they can kind of wreak havoc in your life a little bit. So it's really important to always protect yourself, have those boundaries, and try to be, you know, try to maintain that level of peace in your life.
If you have a loved one that has died and you have had no contact with them, does that mean anything?
No. And there's a few reasons for that. You know, when someone crosses over, you know, we assume that they're ready to go right away. But a lot of times they're doing their own thing. They're having their life review. You know, they're understanding what happened when they were here. It's almost the equivalent of when we're born and we have to learn how to, you know, walk and talk and communicate and learn language. It's the same thing when we're removed from that physical shell and having to kind of go back into that realm again. So I would say if someone hasn't had any type of sign, then I would encourage them to surrender even more for the sign.
Bill, we're going to come back and take calls with you, and Bill would like you to start with a question, and we'll take it from there.